5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Hello, and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where I retell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. Coming up next week, here in the United States, is the inauguration of Donald Trump as our 47th president, but he also is our 44th president, as his terms were not consecutive. I was talking to John about non-consecutive terms the other day, and the only other one that has happened in the history of the United States is when Grover Cleveland was our 22nd and 24th president. So today, we learn a little bit about Grover Cleveland with the story Stephen Grover Cleveland, which comes to us from the book Lives of the Presidents, written by Jean Remy. We might stay here in this book for a few episodes, or we might visit another history book, which I recorded part of back in 2018, but somehow got lost. We will see, though, so stay tuned until next time and see what happens. Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Stephen Grover Cleveland. The race of brave, strong men from whom Stephen Grover Cleveland sprang made their first homes here in Massachusetts as far back as 1635. His father had charge of a small church in Caldwell, New Jersey, and here, in a neat white frame house which you may see for yourselves today, was born on March 18, 1837, the boy who was to rise step by step to the president's seat. He was 3 years old when they moved to Fayetteville, New York, and here he first went to school and lived till he was 12 years old. He showed a strong will and a great love for books as a small boy. He would have his own way if he could get it, and this was why he was sent to a high school when he was not so old by some years as the rest of the boys there. He gave his father no rest till he sent him, and once there, he made up his mind to lead his class. He was just 12 when his strong will sent him to work in a store near his home so that he could help care for the big family in the small home. The man who hired him soon saw that, if he was young, he knew how to work well and that he could trust him. For 2 years, he worked in the store and then went back to his books. But just at this time, his father died, and he then had to find a way to care for those in great need at home. With the same pluck that he had shown in the past, he now went to work in a home for the blind in New York. In this big city, the bright boy saw and heard much, which gave him new thoughts and put in his heart the wish to make his life a great one. At the end of 2 years in the home, he made up his mind to learn law, and he asked a man whom he knew to lend him $25 to start him. The fact that this man did so shows that he had trust in young Grover Cleveland. He could now start his work and went to Buffalo to do so. Here he lived for 8 years. At first, he helped his uncle in the care of a big farm, and the money he so made was sent to his mother. Soon, he had the chance to study law. The place where he went was 2 miles from his uncle's home, but back and forth, rain or shine, he walked each day. There is told a tale that shows how he loved the books of law. For the first day he went to this place, a book was put in his hands to read. He kept at it for hours, till dark came, then he found the rest of the men had gone home, all the doors were locked, and he must stay there all night. Such hard work soon made him a man who well knew the law, and folks gave him big cases that brought him much fame. He did not go to war when it broke out, for he felt that he could not leave his folks at home with no one to care for them. He rose fast in his law work, and more than one great case did he win. He cared far more to take the part of the poor than of the rich, and at no time in his life did he look for high place or fame. It came to him, though, for he was just the man to fill a high post well. His name was soon known in his state and at Washington. For 3 years, he was sheriff of Erie County, and then he took up his law practice once more, but soon he was put at the head of a city as its mayor, and then was made the governor of the great state of New York. Here he did good work. He put down those who had taken bribes and had not been good, true men, and he tried to see that the laws were well kept. Men saw that he was the right man to fill this high place, for he had no fear of what might be thought of him. He just did as he felt right, and so, while he was still governor, he was named for president by a great vote and was elected. When he took the oath of office in Washington, he did not kiss the big Bible which other presidents had kissed, but a little old book, much worn with use, which his mother had given him when he first left home. He was in the chair 4 years, and while here, he took for his wife Miss Frances Folsom. He was the first president to wed in the White House. Cleveland was president for 4 years. At the end of that time, the Republicans placed Benjamin Harrison in the president's chair. But at the end of one term, once more the Democrats won the day, and again in 1893, we see Grover Cleveland president. In May of 1894, the World's Fair was opened, and few boys and girls are too young to know something of the beauty of the great white city built on the shores of Lake Michigan in Chicago. In the last years of Cleveland's term, there was much talk of the state of things in Cuba. The men there wished to be free from Spain, who had ruled them with a hard hand for hundreds of years. Spain sent down troops of soldiers, and harsh laws were made to force the Cubans to keep the peace. But Cuba would not give up, and the United States began to feel pity for this brave little island trying to get free. In the midst of the strife, Cleveland's term of office came to an end, and he came to New York to live and take up law again. He now has a home in Princeton, New Jersey, and has a large law practice.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fighting Moose Podcast. Please join us next time as we read another exciting story. Today's music was provided by the artist Analog by Nature, and the audio clips were provided from NASA. For more information to download and or listen to audio or materials from all our recordings, or to contact us, please visit www.thefightingmoose.com or you can follow the links in the show notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast or on iTunes and tell a friend. Thank you for your patronage, and as always, try and do a random act of kindness every day.
Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the space shuttle turned its place in history and has come to a final stop.